All right, we're going to go ahead with the last in this series, and if you know, in your studying in Scripture, it's clear, it's plainly told, and the meaning of the whole context is that Paul had water baptized a few people before it was revealed to him that Christ's commissioning of Paul was different, not the same as Christ's commissioning of Israel's apostles, who were commissioned to water baptize believers in their gospel. And you can see that in, let's look at the commission there in Matthew 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So the 12 were commissioned to baptize, water baptize. And that's why Paul says that he never baptized in his own name. His was a different commission, with a different, a spirit baptism, different baptism. Paul's commission was to preach a different gospel that could save unforgivable sinners like Saul of Tarsus, who had blasphemed the Holy Ghost in Acts 7, verses 51 to 59. Paul's gospel of Christ was God's power to save sinners who formerly were unsavable and unforgivable in Israel's doctrine. And that removes all precedent for continuing to water baptize based on previous practice for the cleansing of a kingdom of priests, to priest to the rest of the world during Israel's kingdom. Israel's, what was preached to them was the at-hand kingdom, that it was coming then. It would have come, you know, and the thousand-year reign would have been over by now. Paul was not commissioned under the same commission as Israel's 12 apostles. Paul was not commissioned to baptize, but to preach the gospel by which he had been saved, and which is the power of God to save sinners like Paul, not the law keepers, holding up the law as their righteousness, which is all that the law even hinted at justifying law keepers. Look at Paul. What Paul says in his first sermon, first published sermon, Acts 13. Let me see if I can put these, put it up there. Welcome back, Janice and Seeker. Be it known, this is Acts 13, 38 and 39, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, and he's just described the gospel of God, Jesus, according to the gospel of God to them, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, not remittance until Christ comes back to blot out their sins, but forgiveness of sins. And he goes on to say, and by him, by this man, Jesus Christ, that all that believe are justified. Are is present tense, not waiting to be justified. We are justified from all things past, present, and future, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So you can see the two ways to justify: one works and one doesn't. One is insufficient, the law of Moses. Why do people keep going back trying to add that in when it's the insufficient part? And going by Paul's gospel, by him all that believe are justified from all things. I don't know. All right. But let's face it, the law never saved anyone. It was not given to save people. It was given to expose our condemnation. That, you know, the law worketh wrath. Look at Romans 4:15. Romans 4:15 tells us that, and I'll get it up there in a second, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Look at Mark And we'll look at the commission there. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized, that's water baptism, to be a priest, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Not saved yet, but shall be. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Okay, that's not just harsh words that Mark was in a bad mood when he wrote that. That's the word of God, inspired by the Holy Ghost. Israel's 12 apostles had been commissioned to preach the gospel of the kingdom and to water baptize their believers to be a whole kingdom of priests in their future salvation when Christ returns to earth. And you can, well, let's look at the verses. Look at Acts 3, we'll look at Acts 3, 19, 20, and 21 about that very thing. about Christ's return to earth, bringing, blotting out the sins, opening the fountain of Zechariah 13 for sins. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that this is Peter speaking to Israel, not to us. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution. Well, if he sends Jesus, and the heavens would hold him only until the times of restitution, then when Jesus came back, it would be the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. On the other hand, Paul received a sending rather than a not sending. Paul was not commissioned to water baptize. That's not that's not his commission. He was commissioned to preach the gospel of Christ crucified for our sins to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Christ's commissioning of Paul was singular. It was as the only apostle of the Gentiles, not the 12. The 12 apostles that were sent out by Christ from Israel. Paul is the only one sent out for the body of Christ, to Gentiles. Look at Romans 11, verse 13, for verification. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. It doesn't say I'm one of the apostles of the Gentiles, or I'm from the apostles of the Gentiles. No, I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office. So Christ's commissioning of Paul was later widened to all people, as later reported in Acts 22:17-21 that we read in the last section that we did, the previous section, where Christ sent him. He said, I will send you far hence to the Gentiles. Different than the Gentiles he was already sent to. and that was after Israel fell. And it was partway through their diminishing that the Bible said that they had to go through in Romans 11:12. Not being commissioned to water baptized, it's pure speculation, unbased on Scripture, that Paul continued to water baptize after Christ made his different sending clear to him. It's not speculation to believe and to simply and purely believe that Christ sent Paul not to baptize, but to preach the gospel of Christ crucified for our sins, and to believe on him to life everlasting. That's not speculation. It's speculation to go beyond Scripture and say that Paul continued to water baptize after he was told not to, though. Pardon me. Just a moment, please. If Paul had continued to water baptize believers in his gospel after Christ sent him to preach the gospel without him sending him to water baptize, then Paul would have been violating what he declared in Ephesians 4, verses 4 and 5. And I'll post those up here. Ephesians 4, 4, there is one body, and the there is applies to all these. There is one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So Israel is not now partially blinded. And this one baptism, if that's the water baptism, then we're not baptized by one spirit into one body. But we are. So that's the baptism, and Paul was rightly told not to sent not to baptize. So if you look in Romans 11:25, some people read that one way and some people another way. Let me post that. But I think if you look at the wording, it can only be one way. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. In other words, don't ignore this. I'm telling you a secret here. Lest you be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Notice that it does not say that part of Israel was blinded. Blindness has happened to part of Israel. It doesn't say that. It says blindness in part. The part is describing the blindness. It's not yet finished in its diminishing. Israel still is not fully blinded. That's yet to come later in Acts. And it comes in Acts 28, verses 25 to 29. But that's where we find Israel's full blinding. Or Israel's blinding is what it's called. It's not, I shouldn't add the word full, but here the scripture does add the word part, blindness in part. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to part of Israel. No, it doesn't say to part of Israel. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until, so there's an ending to it, when the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So, all of Israel was partly blinded by the time Paul wrote that in Acts 20. Blinded about receiving their Messiah. The little flock already believed in the name of their Messiah. They were unaffected by that partial blinding. Israel was blinded in part during a dispensation of the gospel of Christ, while Israel was still diminishing, Romans 11, verse 12. So, what was Israel's fall? What made them fall? What constituted the fall that Paul talks about in Romans 11, 11? Well, we'll look at, first of all, to see what God had set up. Look at Matthew 12, 31 to 32. And sometimes we read this as if it's one thing, saying one thing, but there's actually two things in here, aren't there? Wherefore, I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy of the against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. So there's blasphemy it's talking about. And verse 32, and whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. So if you read verse 32 alone, Paul still fits into that, doesn't he? Whether he blasphemed or not, he admits to blaspheming. But even if you don't, you know, if you say, well, he blasphemed, but it wasn't against the Holy Ghost, you can track it, you know, through Acts 7. In Acts 7, it's clear that he blasphemed the Holy Ghost. But even so, he did speak against the Holy Ghost when, you know, with stones, if nothing else, when he stoned Stephen. And it says, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. So, well, look what he said. Let me go through four of the verses in that last part of Acts 7, when Paul blasphemed the Holy Ghost. You stiff-necked and this is Stephen speaking to the leaders of Israel, including Saul of Tarsus, who was standing there holding their coats. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You know who else it included? It included the high priest of Israel. Look at verse 1 or 2 of chapter 7. It says the high priest was there holding this meeting in which Stephen gave his defense. So Stephen is saying, you stiff-necked and you uncircumcised in heart and ears. He's calling the high priest uncircumcised, like a Gentile. You do always resist the Holy Ghost. There's the ones that resisted the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do you. Verse 52, that's 751 in Acts. 752, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers. Jump down to verse 55 in Acts 7. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looking up steadfastly into heaven, saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Verse 58. And cast him out of the city and stoned him. Stoned Stephen, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. So that was the fall of Israel right there. The high priest and the council and the scribes and the elders were all together with the people there, and the high priest himself, and they decided to stone Stephen while he was speaking to them the words of the Holy Ghost. They closed off their opportunity to usher in the kingdom at that time. It was during that time, following their fall, Israel was partly blinded, because in those verses that we read there, they had fallen as a nation, a peculiar treasure, and were no longer God's people. You can see that clearly in Hosea 1:9. Then said God, call his name, Lo Am I, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. So the national theocracy was over at that point, for that time. God will bring them back, yes, but they fell at that time, and God was no longer their God. Israel was no longer a way to God as before. Before Jesus himself, in John 4:22, Jesus said, you worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. If you wanted to come to God, you had to do it through the Jews. The only way to do it that I know of is one of those covenants of promise said, I will bless those that bless you. Bless the seed of Abraham, the Jews. So you had to find a Jew to bless. Back then, that was before it is 1 Timothy 1:15 that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That had been kept a secret. So God will change Israel's status according to the next verse in Hosea, in that prophecy we read there, Hosea 1:9. Let's look at the next verse, Hosea 1:10. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, unto Israel, children of Israel, in the first part of the verse there, in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, you are the sons of the living God. We don't replace Israel. Israel is Israel. Israel has fallen, and Israel will be in the future called the sons of the living God. They will take their place again. So, and we could go one more verse here. Verse 11. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together, and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, out of the land that was given to them. For great shall be the day of Jezreel. So after God finished letting Israel diminish through Acts, through the rest of Acts, after they fell, Jesus Christ sent Paul to read Isaiah's casting away curse to them in Acts 28, verses 25 to 29. You don't hear this talked about much for fear that people are going to call you an Acts 28-er, but something momentous did happen there in Acts 28. The Lord did, and I'm not an Acts 28-er, the body of Christ began in Acts 9 with the salvation of Paul. This is not a body of Christ event in Acts 28. It's an Israel event, that Israel had someone authorized by God outside of Israel come to them and read Isaiah's prophecy that he was authorized to write, that he was inspired to write, back there in Isaiah 6. And that cast them away. After that, and still today, Israel is blinded. Period. No longer merely blinded in part. Israel, they're blinded. Inspired Paul told them in Acts 28, verses 26 and 27, seeing, you shall see and not perceive. That's blindness. Their eyes have been closed. They have closed, lest they should see with their eyes. That's blindness. Not just blindness in part. The remnant in Romans 11:5, Romans chapter 11 verse 5, that remnant that's talked about, it's not a prophetic remnant like the small part of Israel that believed God's word to them, or like the little flock did, the church of God in Jerusalem. The remnant in Romans 11:5 is according to the election of grace. That remnant was the few that would elect to believe Paul's message of grace for sinners as he preached to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And they would be baptized by one spirit into one body, the body of Christ, not Israel. Israel was never called a body, and certainly not the body of Christ. Let's read those verses for clarity. Look at Romans 11, verses 5 and 6. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace, choice of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. You see, it's not Israel's program anymore. If it's of grace, it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. You could stop there and understand it, but it gives the reverse, the inverse of that. But if it be of works, then it is no more of grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Israel had to work. They had to believe and work. Israel did the work, but they didn't do the belief part. Romans 10:9 says that they failed to believe the very gospel. Hi, Vic. Glad you came in. They failed to believe the very gospel of that Paul preached, the gospel of God. Not the gospel of Christ. That's not what what they were to believe. They were to believe the gospel of God, who Jesus is. And they did not believe that he was the Messiah. They put him on a cross instead. So that's a grace remnant, not a prophetic remnant. So as a brief summary, baptism by one Spirit into the one body is for today. And since Ephesians 4 verse 5 says that there is only one baptism remaining today, then if someone is water baptizing, isn't that a warning that something is wrong in what they're teaching? Christ's commissioning of Israel in Acts 28 to go out and to baptize believers in their kingdom gospel was to Israel's believing little flock, not to Israel's disbelieving leadership and majority, and certainly not to the alien Gentiles like us. It wasn't given to us, that commission. 1 Corinthians 1:17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of wisdom, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. With that in mind, that Christ sent Paul not to baptize, 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ, Paul said. So I'm done with that lesson, and hopefully it had some helps in it, some things to remember when people try to say, why don't you get water baptized?